So, telegrams from the Queen. Do we have a retraction on this, Flash?
Well, I don't know, but we do have a contribution, and we haven't really checked this out, but somebody sent us an email about his grandmother. 2006, she was expecting a telegram or something, but in fact received an actual old-fashioned birthday card with her Queen's photo on the cover and a message inside and an original signature. So it may be that it just goes in the mail.
This is Anthony Bond who wrote to you.
It was, yes. What we said what we say in the show, as you'll see when you watch it, is that you get a thing called a telemessage now, which is a telegram through the post.
Well, my grandmother lived to be 108 and a half, rather amazingly. And she was 100 about 15 years ago. And we indeed did have a telemessage, as I think it was where I got this original bit of research from. So I think this might be a spoof. Because I do know, my father did the research on this. If you want a telemessage, you have to call, you have to write to the palace. So this may be a friend of his who stuck a photo of the Queen on an ordinary card and then did a QE2.
Of course, you've only got 20 years to go before you find out for sure.
Yes, indeed. C for carrots. Carrots and night vision. This is one for you, Flash, I think.
Yes, we didn't get into this aspect of this question in great detail. The context was Cat's Eyes Cunningham, the pilot who was alleged to have eaten a lot of carrots to improve his night vision, but was actually using early radar. And what I thought was interesting about this is that people, almost everybody, when they're being told by their parents to eat carrots, has been told it's good for them seeing it at night. And it's one of those things that it sort of seeps into everyone's consciousness. So we thought we'd look into that. And it is the case that the rods which are used for seeing things in low light and in monochrome, incidentally, use a substance called rhodopsin, which is also called visual purple. And visual purple is made using vitamin A. And so it is the case that if you don't have enough vitamin A, you have poor night vision. And so if you have a poor night vision for that reason, you need to take in carotene, which is vitamin A, and that you can get it from carrots or better from other things like apricots and spinach and bilberries and so on. However, that is about correcting a defective night vision because you've got defective vitamin deficiency. And there isn't any basis for believing that you can enhance your night vision beyond its normal levels by taking an overdose of carotene. It'd be like trying to put more petrol in an already full tank.
On the other hand, let's say that people perhaps don't have enough vitamins as they should, so that by eating carrots you prevent yourself getting night blindness. So in fact you are seeing better than if you didn't eat carrots, perhaps.
Yeah, if you've got normal night vision, you've got better night vision than if you've got defective night vision.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so yeah. And what are the drawbacks of eating carrots?
Well, we've heard tell that it makes you turn orange.
Yes.
Potentially.
And looking at John Mitch, I can see
yes,
that's the case.
Yes, absolutely right.
But here's the thing. We know, don't we, that if you eat, you mustn't eat, the only bit of a polar bear you mustn't eat is the liver, because you can get vitamin A poisoning.
Yeah.
Can you get vitamin A poisoning from eating how many carrots, and how many carrots do you have to eat?
It's an extraordinary thought, isn't it? You have to eat a lot. The government propaganda films in the 1940s, and you remember it was sort of during the war, Dig for Victory and all that, but the carrots were apparently referred to in one ad as these bright treasures dug from the good British earth. And they would have lots of recipes, because you know, carrots were quite easy to grow,
mm-hmm.
And grow well in Britain. So carrot flan reminds you of apricot flan, the recipe says, but has a deliciousness all of its own. It apparently fooled no one. Carrot jam and marmalade failed to find their way onto the British breakfast table, unlike in Portugal, where in 2001, the European Union, because Portuguese like carrot jam, and jams have to be made from fruit, there's a special dispensation. This one instance, carrots are in fact fruit.
Now it's often held up as a bit of Euro nonsense.
Yeah, it's
isn't
actually
it?
Not really. It's just a legal loophole to enable the Portuguese to describe their carrot confiture as a jam rather than a vegetable paste.
Here's an interesting thing about carrots: the carrot family. Parsley, cow parsley, giant hogweed, coriander, fennel, dill, and hemlock are all members of the carrot family. So is it possible, given that we talked about vitamin A poisoning and possibly of eating too many carrots, that Socrates wasn't given hemlock at all, but he was given carrots to commit suicide, and he actually died of vitamin A poisoning? Write in if you think I'm right. www.qi.com. The traffic's coming up now, and the news at 5.
Very good. But there was another Greek punishment was the radish up the backside, which I think we've discussed in other contexts.
It was a carrot. They died of vitamin A poisoning. Well,
you'd think actually hammering a carrot it would be easier at least at this to start with. You get a better entry with a carrot.
This is rafnidou.
Yes.
I thrust the radish. Yep.
And they were powerful aphrodisiacs apparently in ancient Greece.
Carrots.
Yes.
Or radishes.
Carrots, do you know that carrots in particular, but do you know that carrots have a protein, as antifreeze protein, like some animals, that stops ice crystals growing? It's what's used in some, both in preserving body tissues for medical use and improving the shelf life of frozen food.
Well, carrots.
Carrot, well, antifreeze.
In the context of freezing and carrots, in 1997, the chain Iceland developed a chocolate-flavoured carrot product. But it didn't take off, and the line was discontinued shortly afterwards.
Did you know that the American Secret Service tried to spike Hitler's carrots with female hormones in an attempt to change him into a woman?
No, I didn't. How marvellous.
Why they would want to do that?
What would that have done, exactly?
No idea. Just the moustache, the trademark moustache, probably would have faded away. Who knows? Giraffes.
Ah, giraffes.
Here's a fascinating subject. John Mitch is our expert here. And I think we've got some breaking news here on QI Central.
We have a tiny bit of a retraction because what we always say about giraffes and what almost always everybody always says about giraffes is, in fact, it's one of those old kind of pub bets, isn't it? How many neck bones does a giraffe have? And it turns out, in fact, that almost all mammals have 7 neck vertebrae.
Apart from sloths.
Apart from sloths and manatees. But it turns out, at least according to one distinguished scientist who has spent his life studying the skeletons of giraffes, that they have 8. They have an extra neck vertebrae.
Can you really authenticate this, or is this just speculation?
Absolutely. I will give you the Journal of Zoology in 1998, Dr. Nicholas Solunias. It's cited in lots of academic journals, including the very useful, there's a very, very good 3-dimensional sort of skeleton website called www.digimorph.org, which accepts it. There's still an argument, and part of the argument is, his argument was that there is an extra vertebrate in the chest, which provides a bit of extra cantilever to support the head, because the giraffe's neck is so long. It can weigh up to 5 stone.
Are you saying the neck goes down into the chest in a giraffe?
Yes, there's an extra vertebrae in there, and it's interesting the discussion over it, because a lot of biologists don't want to believe it, and the reason they don't want to believe it is, of course, that it's one of the classic demonstrations of evolution, that you can see that even an animal as large as a giraffe, its basic structure has evolved, but it's kept the same number of neck bones. So it is not uncontroversial. A very good scienceblogs.com.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous because, the number of vertebrae in animals varies hugely from cats to giraffes. It's just the neck.
Just the neck, that's what I mean.
I don't see why that would be an argument either for or against evolution. It's just an anomaly.
I suppose it's the idea that if you have a basic plan, body plan, that's one of the ways in which you demonstrate evolution, that you can link one species to another. I mean, the whole neck of the giraffe is interesting anyway, because it turns out, most people assume, it's common sense to assume, that why has a giraffe evolved to have a long neck? What would you say that would be?
Well, to eat leaves on the top of trees which are out of reach giraffes.
Yes, of course, but it turns out that giraffes spend more than half their time eating at below 6 feet, which is well within the range of their competitors.
Well, the thing is...
So the other great theory is that it's sexual competition, that it's basically because they have... What the males do is they use their heads as sort of medieval maces and beat the crap out of one another with them, that the longer and stronger the neck, the more powerful the male.
Maybe it's they need long necks because they've got such long legs and they can't reach down for grazing.
Giraffes are constantly used as an example of evolution.
Of course they are.
And this whole thing, the whole business...
Because of Lamarckianism, that was the... And of course, interestingly, neither Darwin, if you go back to Darwin or Lamarck, they weren't particularly concerned with giraffes at all. I mean, Lamarck in particular, it wasn't his... It wasn't his best example by a long chalk, but it's sort of what's been passed down as you know, the giraffe over a period of time will reach and reach and reach to get the highest and the juiciest leaves, and they will be able, you know, Lamarck's theory, that was an adaptation that was passed on.
And one of the things about, you know, since they have so far not found any skeletons of medium long-necked giraffes, hence this idea of punctuated equilibrium. Whereby,
well, there's a very controversial illustration in a Dawkins book, where illustrations by his wife, Lalla Ward, where he shows there's basically the nearest we've got to a giraffe is an okapi. And it's the scale of the giraffe and the scale of the okapi are distorted, quite clearly distorted, so that it makes them look closer in size than
they're very
are.
Small, they're tiny little things. Yeah, they are. Carpies, aren't they? Like little deer or something.
The point is, it's to say that a giraffe has 8 neck vertebrae is controversial, but it's certainly there's good science.
Because it shows that giraffes were created by God. End of discussion. Thank you, Richard Dawkins. So, what do giraffes smell of, John?
Well, they smell of feces, John.
Oh, poo.
Yes, it's giraffe pong. It's unpleasant. It's indole, which is a nitrogen compound, which is what makes our shit smell the way it does. And the point about it is that the reason they have this smell is that it's a secretion that is an inbuilt parasite repellent. So it kills microbes.
And that's why giraffes have long necks, isn't it, John, to get away from their own smell.
Exactly. They even secrete the active ingredient in creosote to kill blood-sucking ticks. Very clever. But the thing I loved, you know, acacia leaves. Giraffes need less water than camels because acacia leaves are 70% water, so they don't have to drink. And one of the reasons you wouldn't want to drink as a camel is it's bloody difficult. And they're very vulnerable. They never, very rarely sleep, camels. Giraffes, for that reason. So their awkward splayed pose at a waterhole leaves them vulnerable to lions and crocodiles. Mm. So the only time they ever kneel is to sleep, laying their head on the ground for 10 minutes each day, and even then they keep half their brain awake. But the acacia leaves, the interesting thing about acacia leaves is that the trees have learned to fight back against the giraffes. So they release a windborne warning burst of chemicals to alert the surrounding trees to turn themselves bitter.
Do we think then that acacia leaves weren't bitter then? How do they know that?
We don't know that. Huh. But what we do know is that they respond to giraffes, and that giraffes have at the same time learnt to approach them downwind so that they can't smell, you know, big shit-smelling giraffe coming towards you and you suddenly release all these bitter chemicals.
Sounds very unlikely to me. Let's move on.
I don't believe any of that.
Early explorers compared their scent to a heather, a hive of heather honey in September.